but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No, but I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Lord bless each one. May take your seats. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one that's come this evening. And I won't try and keep us too long tonight. And remember, Brother Gary's going to preach to another service after here tonight. So pray for Brother Gary. And the funeral service tomorrow is for Sharon's cousin, Carl. Carl Blair. And it's in Antrim. I think it's 11 o'clock. And Brother Billy Patterson's going to be conducting, and then Brother Charlie's going to be doing the graveside. Charlie's preaching for Billy tonight down Glencormley. So pray for the whole family. You know, Carl was a great Christian woman. And you know, her real desire for years was to see her husband saved. He wasn't saved. But John got saved. And he got baptized, in Christian baptism as well, and he served the Lord ever since. And you know, when they got that wee building down there in Glencormley, that used to be like a wee mission hall, but it hadn't been used for that for years. It was a pigeon club. And the people had passed on that owned it, but their children agreed if it was done up, they'd let them use it. And Billy and them renovated it. I'm sure that's 20 years ago now. And John, Carl's husband, was a big, done a lot of the work till it wired. He was a spark for trade. And they made a powerful job of that wee hall, and they're still in that hall from that time. But we just want to pray for them, the Lord, to give them strength and comfort at this time, and that the Lord will have his way. Tonight I just want to share something what I've maybe mentioned before, and I really enjoyed what a brother John preached this morning, and one of the things he said struck me, and I thought I'd maybe preach a bit on that tonight, and it's about the coming of the Lord's imminent. The Lord's coming. When people think, well, this will have to happen and this will have to happen, there's nothing more needs to happen. The Lord can come at any moment. Everything's in order. The Lord can come. And the most important thing is to be saved. That's the most important thing. We believe in healing and all them things. We certainly believe in them. But you could be healed and not saved. God's healed people and they weren't even saved. And if they died, they're still lost. But when somebody's saved, they're saved for all time and all eternity. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight, to Matthew 24, verse 42 and 44. And the Lord bless you, Brother Larry. And just an update, Brother Jordy. I was talking to Brother Jordy at message in the day, Tom, we're praying for him. He says he's never felt as bad in his life. That he's never had anything as bad, and they've tested positive again for COVID. When they did the test on him and his wife, both don't feel too good. I think maybe the wife's worse than Jordy. So just keep praying that the Lord will touch them. And the Lord will deliver them from it and raise them up, praise God. You know, when COVID first come round, me and Matthew got it, my brother Matthew. And I'm telling you, I was sick, really sick. Matthew was really sick. And there's a brother from Africa, I've never met him. I just knew him over the internet. And we sent him out Bibles, different things, and we got talking. He's a preacher over there in a part of Africa that I've never been yet. He's wanted me to come since then, but God has to lead you to do that and make the way for it. But anyhow, he was praying for me, and he prayed well, brother. You know, he prayed a fair decent prayer on the phone, but I'll tell you what happened. His wife come on. And I'm telling you now, when that woman prayed, the devil went out. He left. I'm telling you, I never heard praying like it. She prayed in English, she prayed in African, and she prayed in tongues. And I knew what the English was. I didn't know what the African was, and I didn't know what the tongues was. But I'll tell you one thing, the next morning I got up, I was healed. And our Matthew got up the next morning, he was healed. Both of us were healed. And I tell you, that woman can pray. So any time after, when he got on the phone with me, I says, could you get the wife to pray, brother? Amen. And I tell you, she can pray. She was a woman of prayer. And there were lovely people over in a part of Africa. It's a part of Africa that told me never to go to. They said, don't go there, brother. It's an awful place to. What? Where is the chair in that place? Where Samson P. Brown is. Oh, I can't remember the name, but it's down the hill of night. But I got a prophecy years ago that I would go to the darkest continents of Africa. Not to the nice parts, but to the darkest continents. I don't know what that means, really. But anyhow, the Lord knows all them things. But maybe the Lord will take us yet over to see Samson. It's not some name, Samson P. Brown. And Samson P. Brown, his wife prayed for me. And I'll tell you what. Isn't it great to have women of prayer? Women of prayer. And you know, there's several women that's been key in my own life over the years. Women of prayer. And I told you about the wee woman in America. Many folk. She was a woman of prayer as well. And many times I saw her praying for people. And that was it over. When she prayed, that was it. I'm telling you, brother, it worked. I've seen it. And she was a real woman of prayer, and everybody knew she was. Wherever we went, they went traveling around. And they weren't well or anything, and when many prayed for them, they were healed. There was another wee woman came here with Barbara Walton years ago. I can't remember, probably Brother John would remember, but she was really used for praying for the sick. Powerfully used for praying for the sick. And when we went down through Dublin, there was a woman who was very ill, and she had cataracts and everything in her eyes. She couldn't hardly see. And that wee woman went up into the bedroom and prayed for her, and she came back down the stairs with her, healed. Cataracts and all gone. And we travelled into Switzerland and through France into Switzerland that time. And I'm telling you, she was a powerful wee woman as well, used of the Lord. And so true what her brother John said this morning, there's gifts in the church that we need to use and pray for them. And God can give them, praise the Lord. I'm going to restrict myself to half an hour of the night, that's it. And we're going to close. And if anyone wants prayer at the end, can be prayed for. And we just appreciate each one that's come tonight. It's a terrible night. Appreciate each one that's made an effort to come. Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 13 of Matthew 25. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let us bow our heads tonight. You have a need. Just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the greatest event that ever took place was on the cross. Not only that, but Lord, you raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Father, I speak your name over each one in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for every hand raised, you'll meet every single need. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to cover every one of us afresh with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And may that token, that life for that blood, be upon each of us and on our children in Jesus' precious name. Bless your brother Gary tonight as he goes after this service. Bless him, anoint him, strengthen him. And may people's hearts be touched in Jesus' precious name. Pray for Billy and Charlie tonight that you'll touch them and speak to them. And I pray for the funeral service tomorrow, if thou wouldst tarry, Lord, did you speak to men and women's hearts and that somebody will get saved. Bless John and all the family at this time bereaved and all the family circle. May you give them your grace and your strength in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for Brother George and Sister Winifred tonight. May the Holy Spirit come near them now. May they know your touch, your strength, your healing, put your stripes upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, for any others tonight that couldn't be here or couldn't make a touch them and bless them, and for each one with hands raised in this room, meet every single need in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I need your help, and I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. In Jesus' name, and I thank you that you will. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to share with you so many scriptures. I was thinking yesterday, you know, people talk about the seventh seal. And I said to one brother, if you ask somebody what the seventh seal is, they'll give you their interpretation. And you ask somebody else, they'll tell you. And I was thinking about this. Jesus himself never even mentioned the seventh seal. When you read the book of Matthew, he mentions all the six seals, but he never mentions the seventh seal. Now, me personally, I believe the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. Now, I know there could be more to it, and I believe the coming of the Lord is a secret. That's what I believe. I believe that absolutely nobody can know when the Lord will come. And the Bible is absolutely clear on that. Now, we're told to be ready, and we're told of the signs and the seasons and the conditions. And we know that one of the greatest conditions is the rise of false prophets. Jesus tells us that. He says about wars and rumors of wars and false prophets everywhere. And we see false prophets everywhere, and there's some great men of God, and then they're on the internet and all these places. Then the next thing you know, they're having a shirt on. And they're on begging for money. And then another one is, there's four ways you can give to God. And they want your money. Now, when you look at Jesus and the apostles, they never did any of that. That's the prosperity, modern age gospel. And we don't believe in such as that. We know you need to give to God's work. But you don't need to beg like that there for God to do it. If God does something, God will look after us. Isn't that right? But these are the signs of the times. Israel becoming a nation, which he did in 1948, is a sign of the time. And all the other trees putting forth their leaves is a sign of the times. And wanting to become independent is a sign of the times. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all these things are the signs of the times. And Jesus says the end's not yet. And he gives us all these signs of the coming of the Lord. Many shall depart from the faith, and they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so many people today, they wander here and there and everywhere. They're not satisfied. They're not satisfied. But there has to be something that will satisfy the real believer, and that's the Lord Jesus. Now, all these scriptures, look again, if we look at Mark 13, verse 33 to 37, take heed, watch and pray. If you know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, if you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I remember years ago at a tape of William Mullen preaching, and he was saying that he worked for this man, the master of this big place he owned. William Mullen worked with flowers and stuff, planting flowers and things, and he worked anyway. But he says one day, the man that owned the whole thing, was away. And they started to do a bit of tomfoolery, as they say. I wonder who ever said that. And no nonies would be ever guilty of that. Well, I'm guilty of it. Praise God. You know what I'm talking about. The boss is away, so you muck about a bit. Not right, you. And you'll say amen to that, anyhow. But you know, on a serious note, but you see, the wee lassie that worked there, Willie Mullins says, it threw her up onto the pony. And they were mucking about and messing about. And he says, the master come back unawares and caught them on. And they were caught out. They should have been doing their work, but they weren't. They're messing about. And then he says, when the Lord comes, we'll be caught on or caught up. That's what he said. We'll be caught on or caught up. But aren't you glad tonight you'll not miss it? Those that's really born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot miss it. For the Lord's coming for you. That's the thing that's so true what our brother John said this morning about someone that's unconditional. Well, you see, if you're really the Lord's, you're going to be took. Taken. And the Bible says, if Enoch walked with the Lord, and the Lord took him. But there's one thing that does warn us here. We're to be ready. We are to be ready for the coming of the Lord. For the Lord is coming when we least expect it. When we least think of it, the Lord's coming. And the coming of the Lord is imminent. That word's an old word, but that word imminent means at any time the Lord can come. And we need to be ready. Luke 12:40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour you think not. Revelations 22, verse 7 and verse 20. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the signs of the prophecy of this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The Lord is coming. And those of us that are really saved, and those of us that are really should be looking for the coming of the Lord. My father used to always say it. He said, any right thinking man should be looking for the coming of the Lord. Any right thinking man. But you see, the majority of the world today, they're not looking for the coming of the Lord. They're not looking for the Lord's coming. They're worried about all these things. And you know, we know that our society, it's not right. You understand what I'm saying here? Our society's not working right. How can it be when they spend millions to send a man to the moon and people over in Africa starving, or some other country they're starving, but they're spending millions to send a man onto the moon? And they've all wee begging bowls round the shops here in the town and even at McDonald's and all these. How many can understand what I'm saying here? They're the wee things for the want you to put the money in. But yet a premiership football player of the night, that if he gets a wee touch on the leg, he lies down and somebody has to run on with a miracle sponge and revive him. He gets the price of a house every week for kicking a football. My dad used to call it kiss ball. But there's something wrong. That's all wrong. And people starving in the world and people's dying. And then the ordinary working man, the ordinary working woman can hardly get through. You're working and it's gone before you get it. But if you can kick a ball about and lie down now and again, and Sharon used to tell me about her grandmother years ago. And you know that she liked watching the Premier League or Premier football. And if any of them lay down, she'd have been up out of the seat. She was an old woman. She said, get up, you skitty. What are you doing down there? There's nothing wrong with you. But the whole thing's wrong. You see, God never planned that to be like that. That's not God's doing. You see, there's somebody controlling man's affairs today, and that's the God of this evil age. That's who's controlling man's affairs today. And much of what we see is controlled by man today. And even politicians today that want to do the right thing, they want to overrule them. They want to overrule them. And even though they have a vote and a majority of the vote, they're not interested. The devil wants to do his own thing. And we as Christians need not to be soft. But we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord and tell other people. And we, Geordie's been saying it for over 30 years. From I've known him, it's over 30 years now. He tells people when he goes out, wonder where he is, the Lord's coming soon. And I tell you, the Lord, yes, the Lord Jesus could come today. The coming of the Lord is to earth is imminent. Now we know when I say earth, we know we're meeting him in the sky. That's what I mean. And we go back with him. And we're away with him on the honeymoon. And then after a time period of 3.5 years, we come back with him onto the Mount of Olives, King and Queen, and we'll be with the Lord. We're going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And when we reign on the earth for 1,000 years, it's going to be wonderful. The Lion alive with the Lamb, and all the Bible talks about it. And there's so many things, really. Maybe we should get into it a bit more and break it up a bit and study it a bit. But it's wonderful. Now it may be day or night, different parts of the world. You can't preach, he's coming at a certain time, or in the evening or in the morning, because you go to another part of the world, and that could be a different time. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we know the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. And we need to be ready. There's not a single prophecy in this Bible, I believe, to come to pass before the Lord has turned. As far as I know, no event politically or economically or spiritually needs to occur before the Lord comes. The Lord's done everything before the church world. Think of this for a moment this evening as we ponder this. Down through the 7 church ages, God has moved with wonderful servants of God right to here in the 7th church age. And you know, the Sousa Street began the revival of the spiritual gifts, tongues, and all the prophecies into the church. Then in 1909, a man was born called William Morian Branham, and that man had a gift that was fantastic. They'd never seen anything like it, for he could discern the secrets of men's hearts and tell them what they're thinking about in the church, where they're sitting, where they come from, where they're going to. God has displayed every single gift before the church. There's nothing more he needs to do. He doesn't have to apologize if he comes tonight. He's done it. And people's no excuse. And you know, some people say, well, if I seen the Lord do this, I'd believe. That's a lie. Because Jesus says there'll be no sign given them, except the sign, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth be raised up. And I tell you, the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming, and we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus simply told us, look for his coming. All these scriptures, simply to warn us that the Lord's coming at any time. Jesus warned, watch and pray. Watch and pray for the Lord's coming. Christ's imminent return is clearly stated by Christ himself. So this is a message Jesus preached. Now, when you've got a message Jesus preached, you need to preach it. Jesus preached you must be born again. We need to preach it. Jesus preached that all power is given unto them both in heaven and earth. We need to preach it. Jesus preached as many as received him, Jesus, to them give me power to become the sons of God. Don't we need to preach it? And Jesus also preached himself that the coming of the Lord's imminent. The Bible is full of the second coming of Christ and the teaching related to these events. Those of us who take the Bible literally and believe it, all therefore premillennialists, we believe there's going to be a rapture. Now I know there's people tonight that don't believe in a rapture. And I know there's people tonight, they're going up, they're coming straight back down. The Lord bless them. I'm not. I don't want to come up and come straight back down to this place. I'm going to be with the Lord. Because I'm going to have a body change. I'm going to go to be with the Lord. And there's going to be the honeymoon. He's coming for his bride. And you know, when the husband, when the bridegroom and the bride come together and there's a wedding ceremony, and after the ceremony, there's a honeymoon period. And we're going to have a honeymoon period with the Lord. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And there's going to be a rapture. And the rapture just means you're catching up. Catching away. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Praise God. And we literally believe the Bible. And you know, after that, there's a millennium reign. There's a 1,000-year reign with Jesus. Now, it was a wee man that me and John both knew over in Australia. And there's a fella came once to Brother Brian's church. He preached around the millennium. What do you think of that doctrine, brother? He preached for already in the millennium. And the wee man over there in Australia says, tomorrow morning, I'm coming for you. I'll lift you early in the morning, brother. Somewhere to take you. He says, that's great. And they come the next day and he got him into the car, Brother Laurie, and he headed to the zoo. And when he got to the zoo, he says, go on you in with them lambs. And the boy that preached on the millennium said, oh no, do you think I'm stupid? There's no way I'm going in with the lambs. Well, the brother said, you preached last night, we're in the millennium. And the Bible says in the millennium, the lion will lie with the lamb. So you should be fit to go into the lambs because you said you were in the millennium. I saw a clown, and that's what I'm calling him. He was a pastor, somebody on the internet the other day, and he went in the lands. Now, you could do that and get away with it, but I wouldn't chance it. Daniel was through in. He never went in of his own steam. Daniel was through in. He couldn't do nothing about it. And he said, whether the Lord deliver me or not, I don't know. But I believe he will. And God did deliver him. Now, I met a man in Africa, and I stayed in his house, and he lived in a house like a castle. He's a very wealthy man. God, when you send his name. He pastors one of the biggest churches in Zimbabwe. They said can reach 10,000 now a day. It was maybe 3,000 to 5,000 when I was there, and that's a few years ago. But he had two lambs. He reared them from cubs, the male and the female. And he showed me the video of them, how he reared them and how they grew. And the female lamb could go up a pole as high as that ceiling and lift a bit of chicken off the top of it. And the male lamb, as he got bigger, and he wasn't even full grown, he was only starting to get the beard. You know how the mane grows on them. But he used to walk them on a big lead. And he walked that male lamb on a lead like a dog, and he was three-quarter grown at this point. And there's a fella kept goats near where they lived. And the lamb couldn't reach the goats, but this boy moved the goats one night. But Godwin didn't know he moved the goats, but the lamb noticed it. The lamb noticed it, and Godwin never noticed it. And Godwin walked the same path, but the goat was closer that night than any other night. And with one strike of his paw, it killed that goat. And that's the power a lion has. I tell you, a lion's powerful. And then one day, one of Godwin's workers went into that land and the land got a hold of him. And they could hardly get it off him. And it badly injured him and almost killed him. And he had to give up those lands and put them into a reserve. He couldn't keep them no more as pets because they were too dangerous. Yet they were brought up in his own place and he trained them from small. And I tell you, we're not in the millennium reign. I've said all that to tell you. That we're not in the millennium reign. Because in the millennium reign, you're not going to be tempted like you are here now. And there's not going to be things like there is here now. But there is coming a millennium reign. There is coming a time when you will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And there is coming a time where the devil is bound for 1,000 years. Glory to God, not great. Isn't it wonderful? And there's also coming a time when God will throw the devil into the lake of fire. And I can hear Al Nickerson yet. Still his tapes in the house. And I haven't heard them for years, but I never forget it. Because Nickerson says, he says, when the Lord's putting the devil in the lake of fire, I kick him all in. He says, I'll put my boot in him. That's what he said. He says, I hate him. And I'll put my boot in him. Now there's rough work. Nickerson was a rough man. We would need Norr Nicholson, I can tell you. Brother, you know, have you ever heard of W.P. Nicholson? Well, I'll tell you, he went to town to preach. And they couldn't come to his meetings. They were too busy with their bingo and whatever else were fiddling at. Now, that was back in a day. That was back in a day when the town clock went. That was a fire call. And everybody had to gather to the church. That was the sound of a fire. When the town clock, the bell went in the church, that was a sign all round, there's a fire. Well, Nickerson turned nobody, not even the boys that were sponsoring him or nothing, but he went and he ruined it. And the whole town comes and they thought it was a fire. And then he preached on the red hot sermon of repentance. And the power of God broke. And many people got saved. But they couldn't come to the meetings. That's how he got them to the meetings. And I tell you, he was something else. And you see, and you all know Ian Paisley. And you know Ian Paisley, they say, had a rough tongue on his head. And he had. Well, Nicholson prayed for Ian Paisley. And he laid his hands on him. And he said, Lord, give Ian Paisley a tongue that's rough like an old cow. And John there keeps cows, and you know an old cow licks you. It's a rough tongue, it's like sandpaper. And that's exactly what God answered his prayer. And God used Ian Paisley in this country. There's not a man can deny it. God definitely used that man. And he's seen many people saved. Isn't that right? I remember as a wee fella when they had the circus tent up in Tremore. And Paisley went, and he went to the boy and he says to him, how much did you make in this tent this week? And I don't know what he made, what it was then. And Paisley says, well, I want her for an hour a week and I'll give you the money. And people could see it. He rented the circus tent and he held a mission. And that's how the work started in Tremore. That's why there's a church there today. Ian Paisley done it. And I was telling Gary the other night, he sent two fellas to a wee man I know. And the wee man had a wee hole. And he bought it for £1,000. And then he put the oil heating in it. And he worked at cars in it. And Ian Paisley says, you need to get me a hole round wherever the place is out in the country. It's way over the apple country over there. Where's way over Armagh direction, the apple country. And he sent the two boys out. And they went to this wee man's called John as well. And I know him well. He's a great wee man. And they said, John, we need your haul. And John says, what? And he says, aye, big, the doc sent us, they said. He says, that's different. That's what he said. And he said, what did you get to the haul? John said, well, I paid £1,000 for it. And I think it was £600 to put the oil in it then. And he said, if I get that, you can have it. And then back to Ian Paisley, and they said £1,600. And big Ian Paisley says, you stole it off them. And there's a church there that day, and it's massive. It holds hundreds. That's how it started. He had a vision. I tell you, we need a vision to know the Lord's coming. Now, if you and me knew for sure, let's put it like this. If we knew tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the dot, Jesus Christ will be at the end of your gate, and he's ticking you, what would you do? I want you to think of that. Now, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? You see, I preached the other week, we tell ourselves we have time, but we don't have. Because one day we look back and the time's gone. It's like doing a job. I went to do a job on Saturday and I was putting up a bit of a stable. Now, I could have put that up if I'd had a couple of fellas with me that could lift a bit. But there was one fella and his father-in-law, he's an older man, and we had to do whatever we'd done. But you know what happened? That was the fella wanted the bass done. He got a boy to do the bass. Now, Gary didn't do it. But his wife gave the measurements, brothers. He's listening. The bass was 2 foot too small. So when we put the shed up, the bass was too small. And then when we went to put the roof on it, the trusses were too small. It was measured wrong. Now, I should have had it up in the one day and finished in the way, but it wasn't. But we thought what time. But the time went up. And the Bible says the day is spent, we're not yet saved. And I tell you, people put it off. And we've relations, and I don't have to name any names, and we've relations that was close to getting saved. But they didn't get saved. And tonight, a year's passed, or maybe 2 years, and they're still not saved. But what if the Lord comes? Time spent. And the Lord's coming very soon. 5 minutes and I'm closing. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And we know our brother John's experience explained it well. The angels of the Lord's coming, the clouds. And we're going to be caught up in the clouds. How many believes that tonight? And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight, all the loved ones, your sister Carl, you know, they're going to put her in the ground, but she's already went to be with the Lord. She was a believer. But if next week the Lord comes literally, if the Lord comes in the sky and the air and the angels of the Lord come, the graves will open. And the dead that's in Christ are coming up. And that body that's in that grave to be changed. And God, a supernatural power, will change that body. And it'll be a glorified body. And then us that's here will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll be changed. I tell you, it's wonderful, isn't it? I don't know how God's going to do it, but God's going to do it. And it's going to happen. Now, there's so many more things I could say. And we could preach, you know, the judgment seat of Christ, the great tribulation, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the glorious return of the saints and the angels, the battle of the Armageddon, the restoration of the Jews to Palestine, the judgment of the living nations, the millennial reign of Christ and David's throne. All these things are going to happen. There's many things to happen. But the main thing for me and you tonight is be ready for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord is imminent. You say, brother, how am I going to be ready? What have I got to do? It's like our brother said this morning. If you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're ready. That's all you have to do. Be ready and watch it for the coming of the Lord. He wants us watching. If you ever have something important and it's coming on the post, you're watching for it. Now here's one, and I'm just thinking of it. There's a fellow ordered me someone on the internet for doing a wee job for him, and he says, Tom, I've sent it to your address. Now he says, if you go on to that email, you'll be able to track it. You'll be able to track it. Now the boy came on Thursday night, and he was in Europe. But he didn't realize how close he was to my house. He mustn't have thought he was close. So he went on to Ballymena. And when he got on to Ballymena, he realized that he wasn't as close in Ballymena to me as what he would have been in Uri. He missed me. And he was away in Ballymena. But you see, people can preach what they want, but there's no tracking system they can put in the Lord and tell you exactly when he's come. They can't do it. But he's coming. And he says he's coming in an hour that the people think not. Like the thief that comes in the night. You're fast asleep snoring. You're out coiled. You're waking up the next morning, the car's away. You don't know nothing about it, it's too late. That's the way the Lord's coming, as a thief in the night. The Bible says that. You think of this evening, brother, and I'm going to close, and brother Gary's going to come. Think of this here. When the rapture actually takes place, things are going to go on as they are. They'll go on as they are. There'll be even churches still having meetings about people in them too, because they're all not going, because they're not ready. Only those that's ready are going. And you have to have the seal of God, which is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be really born again and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the credential. You need to go. And the Lord will come and he'll kick his people. And they'll still be playing their football. And there's nothing wrong with football. I'm not against it. Or whatever sport. Everything will still go on. That's all I'm saying. But we'll be away. We'll be away. But brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we had loved ones and they didn't go? We need to pray for them. Let's stand our feet tonight and close our eyes again. And then our brother Gary's going to come. And if anyone wants prayer at the end or during the song, you come ahead. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of truth that you've warned us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord is imminent. Father, I pray sincerely tonight, Lord, with all my heart, for every wife, for every son, every daughter, every husband, every one that's near and dear to our hearts in this room. Lord, will you save them? Will you move them? Even as a brother Gary goes tonight to preach the gospel, I pray you'll touch men and women's hearts and that somebody will get saved in Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you that we should be privileged that you've chosen us to preach the word of God. We thank you that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Father, bless each one in this house. Comfort and strengthen everyone till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes.
Do we have the words Matthew for seek ye first the kingdom of God? I'm not sure of if we've got the music for that. I think it's Sciarba from the last sang that, believe it or not. It's been quite a while. What key album?